The Lord had brought my thoughts to the Jewish tradition of the birthright. And there's far too much regarding that tradition to cover in the next 10 minutes, but we'll just touch upon perhaps a few of the key points of the birthright to begin our day. In the Old Testament, the birthright blessing was for the oldest son, the firstborn, or the bechor, to receive a double portion of his father's estate. And this right was first established in Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17. And just, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it really quickly for you. And it's an interesting scenario. This is a man who had two wives. If a man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Now, although the firstborn son was the wife of the man that the father hated, the father still had to acknowledge the firstborn of the unloved wife by giving him two shares, by giving him his double portion. And what I want to note today is the birthright was not merely a blessing of material gain and privilege. It was comprehensive in that it was a comprehensive blessing involving several key responsibilities as well. In Luke 12:48, Jesus said, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required." I want us to understand that this morning. I noted five aspects of the double portion, the first of which is material inheritance, which is probably the most obvious. And by definition, the firstborn inherited twice as much as any of the other sons. So let me give you this example. So if there were three sons, if a man had three sons, the estate would be divided into four parts, not three, but four, with the firstborn son receiving two of the four parts and the other two sons receiving one part, the double portion. And the purpose of such was to ensure that the firstborn son had the necessary resources to care for his mother and all of his unmarried sisters after his father's death. Secondly, the double portion speaks also of leadership and authority as the family headship. Upon the father's death, the firstborn son assumed the position of family head. He took over the role of the father in that capacity, inheriting authority over his younger brothers and the entire household, and he became the leader of his family's material affairs. So there was a great responsibility that became his too. Then there was the aspect of spiritual and priestly service. Now, originally, the firstborn was dedicated to God and served as the priest of the family or clan. In the case of Israel, this responsibility was transferred by God from the firstborn sons to all the Levites who were consecrated to serve as priests in the tabernacle on behalf of the firstborn sons. And we find that over in Numbers 3, verses 11 through 13. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opened the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord." Then there's the spiritual blessing of a continuation of the covenant. The firstborn was traditionally the recipient of a special blessing from the father, and we know that. Establishing the firstborn as the heir to the patriarchal covenant promises, such as God's covenant with Abram. In Genesis 25:5, we read, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." So that covenant continued on, generation by generation by generation. And then fifthly, I want to note that there are three important nuances, if you will. First being that there's a reversible right. The birthright could be lost due to severe misconduct, as seen with the sons of Reuben, who lost his birthright to the sons of Joseph, and we find that in 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2. And again, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it. "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for so much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright, for Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's." Secondly, I think we're pretty familiar with the story of Esau and how he sold his birthright. Esau sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob, and we find that in Genesis 25. Then finally, there is God's choice. Sometimes God would pass over the firstborn in favor of a younger son, such as the case of God choosing Isaac over Ishmael. Ishmael was the older, but Isaac was born of the free woman, and Ishmael was born of the bondwoman. So God has that right. Although God loved them both, I love them both, God's promise was made to Isaac. Also, how about Joseph over his older brothers? Or David over his brothers? The firstborn's right was often referred to as the first fruits of his father's strength. The first fruits of his father's strength. That's an amazing responsibility. So what does all this really mean for us? The birthright for us today? I mean, you know, we're not Jews. We're Gentiles, right? And we're not subject to hold to or follow the Old Testament covenants or traditions or laws or customs. But we have been grafted in, haven't we? By the blood of Jesus. We've been grafted in to the same household of Abraham and have received the same blessings because our new life and identity is in Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn of God the Father. You're it. And with the same firstborn rights, we have the same responsibilities, don't we? I mean, think about it, we do. Because Jesus is the new and everlasting covenant. Neither our birthright nor our inheritance can be revoked or annulled. Even when we fail to fulfill our responsibilities and duties as firstborn sons, God abides faithful. Our birthright has been unilaterally granted to us from God the Father, unconditionally, by grace. We didn't earn it. We could never earn it. Our birthright is because Jesus already purchased it for us at Calvary. And when we accepted him as our Savior, all the blessings of the Father immediately became ours by, in, and through the new birth. We are no more children. We are firstborn sons. All of us. Ladies. In the eyes of God, there's no gender. You're a firstborn son. And as firstborn sons, we have a responsibility to be the leaders of our families, and we have the right to exercise this authority. We have a spiritual and priestly service to fulfill. Just as the Father is the head of the Son, and Jesus is the head of the man is the head of the family, the household. There's a special blessing given to the firstborn son to strengthen him in fulfilling his role and responsibility to his family. I go back to thinking about Esau. Esau despised his birthright, I think largely because he was not willing to accept everything that came with it, not just the benefits, but the responsibility as well. He wanted just to have his own life. He didn't want the responsibility that came with it. And you know, as I've mentioned before, God knew Esau's heart even before Esau was born, because God said, the young older shall serve the younger. God knew his heart before he even came out of the womb. God knew Esau's heart, but he knew that that type of man, that man could never be a leader. Oh, think about Joseph. Although he was the youngest son, God chose him to give him authority and responsibility of saving his brothers and their entire families from certain starvation. When they set out to kill him, to leave him for dead. But God, he honored his birthright. The other ones weren't worthy of it. God chose him. David was the runt of the litter. He was overlooked by his whole family, but God knew his heart. And he set him before Goliath and all the Philistines when all the others cowered in fear. Precious hearts, we should never despise nor neglect our birthright or our inheritance. They are two of the greatest gifts and promises that God has ever bestowed upon us. And we shouldn't fear that we're going to fail, but rather rely on his strengthening. His strengthening to enable us to fulfill our responsibilities as good stewards of everything that God the Father has freely given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord and our soon coming bridegroom. It's his strength, not ours. Well, God bless you this morning. We'll miss you next week, but our hearts will be here with you.